Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic. Welcome back, everyone. I am Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission, as always, is to safeguard the wisdom in the classics and inspire children and families with a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in Western literature, history, and scholarship. In short, I tell classic, traditional, and wholesome stories for youngsters and try to make it fun and edifying. I'd like to welcome the little bears from Bertaria, the unauthorized, my loyal listeners from Crosspoint, the region, and around the world. A special thank you to my Patreon supporters who help keep the show going and growing. If you like what we're doing, creating stories for the good of your kids, please support us on Patreon for $5 a month or subscribe to unauthorized.tv. Go to juniorclassicspodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Okay, today we continue our series, Tales from Europe, with another French tale called The Golden Blackbird by Paul Sabillot. Our geography highlight this week is the Great Smoky Mountains. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with our story today, but our family vacationed there recently, so I thought it would be fitting to share about it. The Great Smoky Mountains are a mountain range rising along the Tennessee-North Carolina border. They are a sub-range of the Appalachian Mountains. The national park is the most visited in America. It is home to the most black bears anywhere in North America and many different types of salamanders. There's hummingbirds, all kinds of different flora and fauna. The name Smoky comes from the natural fog that often hangs over the range and presents itself as large smoke plumes from a distance. Something else I learned about, which was pretty cool, was I did not know that elk were in the Smoky Mountains. I guess that elk used to always live there, and they were hunted away. And in the early 2000s, the National Park Forest Service reintroduced elk to the area, and I guess they're thriving now. So you can actually go to certain areas and see elk. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, now it's time for
Lost and Found Words.
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try and spot them during the show. Our first word today is a bone setter. A bone setter was a person who had knowledge of natural remedies, medicine, and setting bones, but was not formally trained as a doctor. So basically a healer, but not quite a doctor. The king in our story falls very ill, and doctors of every kind could not help him, so he enlisted the help of bone setters as well. Our second word is a merrymaker. A merrymaker is a person celebrating and having a good time at a party or gathering. Then we have the word porcelain. Porcelain is a hard but delicate, shiny white substance made by heating a special type of clay with a high temperature. It's used to make cups, plates, and many types of decorations. It can also be called china or fine china. Now, the main female in our story is called the Porcelain Maiden. Porcelain holds water. It does not stretch. It's considered strong, hard, tough, and white, and sometimes see-through, and is made up of many properties. After reading the story, I'm not quite sure why she is called the Porcelain Maiden. But after you listen, maybe you might have an idea as to why, and I would love to hear your theory. Our next word is time. Now, I don't mean time as in minutes and hours. I mean time as in a plant of the mint family that grows low to the ground. It's used for cooking and as medicine. A hare or rabbit in the story is caught munching on some thyme. So he's not eating thyme like hours and minutes, but the plant thyme. And I bet some of you have thyme growing in your garden right now, or you will soon. Our next word is a stable boy. A stable boy is simply a boy who takes care of the horses or animals in a stable. And a stable is a building for the animals, especially horses. And our last word is inherit. Inherit. This means to be given money, property, or a title as the heir or descendant when the previous owner dies. So the king in our story promises the good son that he will inherit or be given everything he owns when he dies. That's all for this week's Lost and Found Words. Now, on to the show. I have no special introduction to this week's story. Instead, I'm going to share a story about our vacation to the Smoky Mountains. On the way home, when we were leaving the cabin, we pulled out onto the main road, and I punched in the GPS to our home address, and instead of returning the way we came, it told us to turn another way. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe it kind of made sense because the way we came, we went to the main town first and then to our cabin. So I thought this might just be a quicker way to the highway. So after about 30 to 40 minutes of driving, the road became more and more curvy and increased in elevation, and the scenery was beautiful, but I was starting to get a little frustrated because I thought we were supposed to be in the highway and we were driving, you know, 9.5 hours that day, and I wanted to get home. Well, the roads continued to become more windy. We lost all reception, so I had no aid of the GPS anymore or if there was a quicker way to the highway. And then all of a sudden, I started noticing sports cars come flying by from the opposite direction. Zoom, zoom. I was like, man, that's pretty cool, but where are we? And then I saw the sign, and it said, "Entering the Tail of the Dragon, next 11 miles. And I was like, okay, where are we? I'm in the car with two people who get car sick. My son and, you know, Melanie doesn't do that well either. And I'm not able to go really any faster than about 35 miles an hour. So as we keep on going, now we're hitting hairpin turns. Everywhere we go, it's a major curve. And there's motorcycles flying by, sports cars. And we turn the corner and this dude has a camera. And I thought he was out there taking like nature pictures. And then he saw me and was just like focusing his camera. So I rolled down my window. I gave him, you know, like a hang loose sign just for fun. And turned the corner, went another mile or so. And there's another guy taking a picture. And I'm like, all right, where are we? And so we finally got out of that area. And there was a couple like restaurants, bars, and like motorcycle stores. So I figured we were on one of these, roads that motorcycle and sports car enthusiasts go on. And it turns out that was the case. We were on a road called the Tail of the Dragon. It's 11 miles long. It has 318 curves in it. And there's no driveways or intersections. So it's basically a closed road that you can open up and have fun on. So I got the Crush, the Tail of the Dragon, in my minivan. One of the most sought after roads for motorcycles and sports car enthusiasts all over the world. So that was pretty fun. I actually went on and I found the people are taking pictures, like when you're on a roller coaster and they take a picture of you. I went and found the website and I bought it because it's me and my minivan and it's pretty funny. So at some point I'll upload that and share that with you guys. Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. Now on to the show.
By Paul Sabillo.
Once upon a time, there was a great lord who had three sons. He fell very ill, sent for doctors of every kind, even bone setters, but none of them could find out what was the matter with him, or even give him any relief. At last, there came a foreign doctor who declared that the golden blackbird alone could cure the sick man. So the old lord dispatched his eldest son to look for the wonderful bird and promised him great riches if he managed to find it and bring it back. The young man began his journey and soon arrived at a place where four roads met. He did not know which to choose and tossed his cap in the air, determining that the direction of its fall should decide him. After traveling for 2 or 3 days, He grew tired of walking without knowing where or for how long, and he stopped at an inn, which was filled with merrymakers, and ordered something to eat and drink.
"My faith," said he, "it is sheer folly to waste more time hunting for this bird. My father is old, and if he dies, I shall inherit his goods."
The old man, after waiting patiently for some time, sent his second son to seek the golden blackbird. The youth took the same direction as his brother, and when he came to the crossroads, he too tossed up which road he should take. The cap fell in the same place as before, and he walked on till he came to the spot where his brother had halted. The latter, who was leaning out the window of the inn, called to him to stay where he was and amuse himself.
"You are right. Who knows if I should ever find the golden blackbird? Even if I sought the whole world through for it. At the worst, if the old man dies, we shall have his property."
He entered the inn, and the two brothers made merry and feasted, till very soon their money was all spent. They even owed something to their landlord, who kept them as hostages till they could pay their debts. The youngest son set forth in his turn, and he arrived at the place where his brothers were still prisoners. They called him to stop, and did all they could to prevent his going further. "No, my father trusted me, and I will go all over the world till I find the golden blackbird."
"Bah, you will never succeed any better than we did. Let him die if he wants to. We will divide the property."
As he went his way, he met a little hare, who stopped to look at him and asked,
"Where are you going, my friend?"
"I really don't quite know. My father is ill, and he cannot be cured unless I bring him back the golden blackbird. It is a long time since I set out, but no one can tell me where to find it."
"Ah, you have a long way to go yet."
"And how am I to travel such a distance?"
"You will have to walk at least 700 miles before you get to it. Mount on my back, and I will conduct you."
The young man obeyed. At each bound, the little hare went 7 miles, and it was not long before they reached a castle that was as large and beautiful as a castle could be.
"The golden blackbird is in a little cabin nearby, and you will easily find it. It lives in a little cage, with another cage beside it made of all gold. But whatever you do, be sure not to put it in the beautiful cage, or everybody in the castle will know that you have stolen it."
The youth found the golden blackbird standing on a wooden perch, but as stiff and rigid as if he was dead. And beside was the beautiful cage, the cage of gold. "Perhaps he would revive if I were to put him in that lovely cage," thought the youth. The moment the golden blackbird had touched the bars of the splendid cage, he awoke and began to whistle, so that all of the servants of the castle ran to see what was the matter, saying that he was a thief and must be put in prison.
"No, I am not a thief. If I have taken the golden blackbird, it is only that it may cure my father, who is ill, and I have traveled more than 700 miles in order to find it."
"Well, we will let you go, and will even give you the golden blackbird if you are able to bring us the porcelain maiden."
The youth departed, weeping, and met the little hare, who was munching wild thyme.
"What are you crying for, my friend?"
asked the hare.
"It is because the castle people will not allow me to carry off the golden blackbird without giving them the porcelain maiden in exchange."
"You have not followed my advice, and you have put the golden blackbird into the fine cage."
"Alas, yes."
"Don't despair. The porcelain maiden is a young girl, beautiful as Venus, who dwells 200 miles from here. Jump on my back, and I will take you there."
The little hare, who took 7 miles in a stride, was there in no time at all, and he stopped on the borders of a lake.
"The porcelain maiden will come here to bathe with her friends. Keep yourself out of sight behind the thicket, while I just eat a mouthful of thyme to refresh me. When she is in the lake, be sure you hide her clothes, which are of dazzling whiteness, and do not give them back to her, unless she consents to follow you.
The little hare left him, and almost immediately, the porcelain maiden arrived with her friends. She undressed herself and got into the water. Then the young man glided up noiselessly and laid hold of her clothes, which he hid under a rock at some distance. When the porcelain maiden was tired of playing in the water, she came out to dress herself. But though she hunted for her clothes high and low, she could find them nowhere. Her friends helped her in the search, but seeing at last that it was of no use, they left her all alone on the bank, weeping bitterly. "Why do you cry?"
"Alas, while I was bathing, someone stole my clothes, and my friends have abandoned me."
"I will find your clothes, if you will only come with me." And the porcelain maiden agreed to follow him. And after having given up her clothes, the young man bought a small horse for her, which went like the wind. The little hare brought them both back to seek for the golden blackbird. And when they drew near the castle where it lived, the little hare said to the young man,
"Now, do be a little sharper than you were before, and you'll manage to carry off both the golden blackbird and the porcelain maiden. Take the golden cage in one hand and leave the bird in the old cage where he is, and bring that away too."
The little hare then vanished. The youth did as he was bid, and the castle servants never noticed that he was carrying off the golden blackbird. When he reached the inn where his brothers were detained, he delivered them by paying their debt. They set out all together, but as the two elder brothers were jealous of the success of the youngest, they took the opportunity, as they were passing by the shores of a lake, to throw themselves upon him, seize the golden blackbird, and fling him into the water. Then they continued their journey, taking with them the porcelain maiden, in the firm belief that their brother was drowned. But happily, he had snatched in falling at a tuft of rushes and called loudly for help. The little hare came running to him.
"Take hold of my leg and pull yourself out of the water."
When he was safe on shore, the little hare said to him,
"Now this is what you have to do. Dress yourself like a Breton seeking a place as a stable boy, and go and offer your services to your father. Once there, you will easily be able to make him understand the truth."
The young man did as the little hare bade him, and he went to his father's castle and inquired if they were not in want of a stable boy.
"Yes, very much indeed, but it is not an easy place. There is a little horse in the stable which will not let anyone go near it, and it has already kicked to death several people who have tried to groom it."
"I will attempt to groom it. I never saw the horse I was afraid of yet." The little horse allowed itself to be rubbed down, without a toss of its head and without a kick.
"Good gracious, how is it that he lets you touch him when no one else can go near him?"
"Perhaps he knows me." 2 or 3 days later, the master said to him,
"The porcelain maiden is here, but though she is as lovely as the dawn, she is so wicked that she scratches everyone that approaches her. Try if she will accept your services."
When the youth entered the room where she was, the golden blackbird broke forth into a joyful song, and the porcelain maiden sang too and jumped for joy.
"Good gracious, the porcelain maiden and the golden blackbird know you too?"
"Yes, and the porcelain maiden can tell you the whole truth if she only will." Then she told all that had happened, and how she had consented to follow the young man who had captured the golden blackbird. "Yes, I delivered my brothers, who were kept prisoners in an inn, and as a reward, they threw me into a lake. So I disguised myself and came here in order to prove the truth to you." So the old lord embraced his son and promised that he should inherit all his possessions. And he put to death the two elder ones, who had deceived him and had tried to slay their own brother. The young man married the porcelain maiden and had a splendid wedding feast.
The end.
Another great story with a happy ending. I'm always glad when that happens. What stuck out to me in the story was when the older brothers were lured by the amusement and entertainment of the inn, instead of staying focused on their mission to help their father. Now, this reminded me of the story Pilgrim's Progress. This was a movie based on the story Pilgrim's Progress that my family watched recently. And Christian, the main character, is on a journey to reach the celestial city. This clip from Adventures in Odyssey describes the scene.
And soon Christian sank to his knees under the great load on his back.
Someone help me, please!
Suddenly, a man appeared in front of him.
Now, what's the matter?
Huh? Who are you?
Well, my name is Evangelist.
Where did you come from?
Oh, we're always popping up. Too much, according to some people. Now, what seems to be the problem?
Well, this book says that the city and country are going to be wiped out, and that I should run for safety.
Well, then why are you standing here? Run!
I don't know where to go.
Is that all? You need to go to the Celestial City.
Celestial City?
Right, the place of ultimate safety and rest. Of course, getting there is no picnic. The journey is very dangerous, filled with many enemies.
Enemies?
Yeah. Oh, and they won't let you in with that smelly load on your back.
I've been trying to take it off, but I can't.
Well, of course you can't. It has to be removed for you.
Removed for me?
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Nope.
Then how can
I... Head for the Celestial City and you'll find out.
How do I get there?
Well, you see that blinking light in the distance there?
Across the field?
Uh-huh. Now, when you cross the field, you come to a path. Follow the path to get to the light. Then you'll be told what to do. Well, don't just stand there. Get going.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And make sure you stay on the path. Don't turn away to the right or to the left. Godspeed.
So I think you get the idea. Straying off the path leads to destruction. The older brothers strayed from the path their father, the king, sent them on. They chose temporary pleasure instead of obeying their father. And their wickedness and betrayal towards their younger brother brought them punishment and destruction. When the youngest brother finally made it back home and the truth came to light that he alone was responsible for retrieving the golden blackbird, he was rewarded with his father's inheritance and married the beautiful porcelain maiden. Remember, junior scholars, the world will offer you many temptations and temporary pleasures. You must stay on the path. Focus on the mission. Anything that draws you away from the path leads to destruction. That's all for this week, junior scholars. Until next time, I am Sir Bradley Hassey. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email
to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
Listening to Junior Classics.
And now the sound of the Appalachians.